everyone, and welcome back to the CDH Conversations podcast. This is episode 2 of the Justice and Public Interest on the Mic, and I am Thobeka Dlamini, a candidate attorney in the Pro Bono and Human Rights Department based in our Johannesburg office. Today's episode focuses on a very interesting matter. As mentioned in the introductory episode, we will be having different teams on the podcast to share some light on matters which they have either worked on previously or are currently working on pro bono. And to unpack today's focus, I am joined by Mbonisi Ndlovu, an associate in Team Barkhazen Barbosa from the Trust and Estates Department in the Johannesburg office. Hi, Mbonisi. Thank you so much for making time to have this quick chat with me. Now, to kickstart this conversation, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself with specific reference to the work that you do?
Thank you for having me on the podcast, Thobeka, and hello to the listeners. I am a private wealth attorney in the Trust and Estates Department here at CDH. As an attorney, notary, and tax practitioner in the department, I assist in administering estates, establishing and administering trusts, estate planning, business succession planning, and everything relating to private wealth, which includes providing legal advice. We also make use of various estate planning tools such as wills, trusts, and antenatural contracts. And with the help of our tax and exchange control and corporate and commercial department, we also incorporate private companies as part of business restructuring, etc. One might wonder how a department like ours finds itself in a primarily corporate law firm, as we predominantly cater for some corporates and mostly individuals, whether ultra-high net worth or ordinary individuals. Basically, we cater to the warm bodies behind the corporates by assisting them structure their affairs effectively for wealth preservation. For corporates, we assist to set up structures such as trust for wealth optimization. On a regular, we liaise with various stakeholders such as SARS, financial institutions, and the Master of the High Court. Because we can't really talk about wealth without touching on taxes, we also dabble quite a bit in that space by giving advice to clients on domestic and offshore jurisdictions.
I think most of our listeners now have a better understanding of what the Trust and Estates Department does. Much like attorneys in the private sector, I know you're faced with matters which require you to really just apply your mind. And I'm guessing that the pro bono matters that you work on are no exception. So our Trust and Estates Department assisted in various matters, pro bono, of which I'm so interested in knowing about. But before we even get into the actual matters, do you maybe want to first explain what exactly is a trust and some ins and outs of issues relating to trusts and estates?
Of course. Contrary to popular belief, a trust is not a standalone legal entity. It is an arrangement between three parties, the founder or the donor, whom I call the giving hand, whose task is solely to donate to the trust. Then we have the trustees, whom I call the active hands and the active mind of the trust. These are tasked with making and implementing decisions. We also have beneficiaries. These are the receiving hands. These are specifically tasked with receiving a benefit depending on whether the trust is a vested or a discretionary trust. As much as there are various kinds of trusts, they are all quasi-juristic persons. That is, they all have elements of legal entity, but they are mere arrangements of the aforementioned parties. These arrangements are effective for wealth preservation and asset protection.
You mentioning that these are all juristic persons makes me wonder, because they are bodies handled by humans. So for them to be mishandled, it's something that can actually happen. Now, do you want to maybe walk us through the kind of implications or consequences that can be faced by these entities, these trusts and estates, in the case whereby they aren't handled in the correct manner?
Sheesh, Thobeka, the consequences can be very adverse to all the parties related to the trust. Similar to piercing the corporate veil in companies, the trust veneer can be pierced if the trust is a sham, that is an alter ego of the founder. This has massive legal and tax implications. If the trust is not properly managed and not compliant with the law, there are various consequences that can be imputed on the trustees, which can range anything between the following. Trustees can be held personally liable for actions taken. The trust itself can be terminated, and the legal and tax consequences can be imputed upon the trustees. For unpaid taxes or willful non-compliance with SARS, SARS may impose penalties of up to 200% of the unpaid taxes. For evasion of taxes, imprisonment for up to 5 years. The list goes on and on, Thobeka.
Now, for our listeners who don't understand this notion of piercing the corporate veil, do you mind, can you just explain that to us? What exactly does piercing the corporate veil mean in the context of the work that you're doing?
Certainly. Piercing the corporate veil, similar to piercing the trust veneer, is simply looking beyond the trust's legal structure to hold the people behind it, like trustees or the founder, personally liable for actions taken within the trust. This can happen if the trust is misused, such as being treated as a personal property or for hiding assets.
I think now we have a better understanding of what trusted estates are and also the implications that are there when they aren't handled in an efficient manner. Before I even ask the next question, I just want to emphasize that the trust and estates team is actually a fee earning practice, which means that they actually have to set time aside to work on matters on a pro bono basis, which, honestly speaking, according to me, is quite commendable. Now, Bonisi, let's talk about these matters. What kind of matters has the team taken on pro bono, maybe in the past, and if you can mention some of your ongoing matters?
We have worked on pro bono matters on several occasions. This includes staffing at the probono.org's master's office help desk on a monthly basis for about 2 hours. We also are currently assisting on an issue of land reform, preparing a proposal to resolve the issue of family houses in urban and rural communities.
And then you mentioned something about the master's office. I've always been of the impression that these are like external stakeholders that maybe you have to deal with on a legal basis to deal with matters in your department. But when you talk about volunteering, can you maybe just want to walk us through that one? What do you mean that you guys volunteer with the master's office?
Sure. At the master's office help desk, we help individuals who have to first pass a means test. As soon as they've passed that test, we then are able to assist them. Often the issues they require assistance with relates to deceased estates. We assist to set out the pathway they should follow with regards to reporting their loved ones' estates. We also offer general advice relating to deceased estates and transfer of property to the relevant heirs. So essentially just providing general advice to the heirs who have lost their loved ones in their chaotic state to ensure that they know what exactly it is that they need to do. And that also sort of like gives them comfort to know what needs to be done going forward.
Yeah, that basically means that your work goes beyond CDH and you actually get to spend a couple of, you know, hours with the master's office in assisting them. That's really good. But I can't imagine that you having to work on these matters, whether it's pro bono or whether it's fee earning, is ever a smooth sailing one. Are there any hiccups that you face in the matters that you deal with?
Certainly. Seeing that we work with several stakeholders, such as the Master of the High Court and the South African Revenue Service, we tend to struggle with the master's office not meeting their turnaround times. This is because the master's office is currently implementing system changes. They are now moving to migrating physical files online. As you would have it, it is taking some time for the system to be up and running. However, it does help that we have somewhat of a relationship with these stakeholders in delivering a decent service to our clients.
Even when there are challenges, actually, I know for a fact that there must have been some sort of, you know, accomplishments that you guys have had, some of the goals that you guys have made ever since you started working with the pro bono and the human rights team. Can you maybe just tell us a couple of those matters that you've had successes on?
Absolutely, Tobega. At the moment, we are assisting pro bono with a groundbreaking matter of creating an instrument for land reform. We are proposing a structure to carry what is commonly known as a family house. The matter is ongoing, and we believe our contribution will certainly revolutionize the phenomenon of family houses in South Africa, as well as land reform legislation.
And I just wanted to say, I remember that you were in attendance at the seminar that we had earlier on this year about the family house project that we're working on. And I just want to say thank you to you and your team for the contributions that you guys have provided us thus far. And I hope that we can make that project a success. Now, some parting words of wisdom. Is there anything that you'd like to say to those with intentions of maybe establishing a trust in the future? Any advice for trustees and active trusts right now? And anyone with estates, like how do they help us help them?
So for those establishing a trust, our guidance is very simple yet essential. Begin with a clear purpose, remain informed, and foster open communication. A trust functions optimally when its objectives are well-defined and understood by all parties involved. Trustees, your role encompasses both legal and personal responsibilities, and upholding accountability and transparency is fundamental. Estate planning extends far beyond asset allocation. It's about creating legacy that mirrors values and fosters generational harmony. While we are not a pro bono department, our trust and estates department is deeply committed to supporting trustees in meeting their obligations and staying compliant every step of the way.
I think this was very informative. Thank you so much for the work that you guys do in your team. We commend you for your contributions to the pro bono matters that the company handles. I really hope that with the challenges that you guys face with external stakeholders, that you guys do find some sort of solutions to make the turnaround time a bit better. And thank you. Thank you so much to you and Team Barkin Hayes and Barbosa for making the time to have this chat with me.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.